Hello, good afternoon everyone, and welcome to this meeting of Stafford Borough Council Planning Committee. My name is Brendan McEwen and I'll be chairing this meeting. Just a couple of points before we start. I'll remind myself I need to turn my mobile phone off. If you do have a mobile phone, please set it to silent or turn it off altogether, which I'm about to do now. On my right, I have members of the Planning Committee, and on my left, officers from Law and Administration. Officers from the Planning Department will present each application. As it appears, but not appears on the agenda, we will be dealing with the Leaford Power Station one first, and then followed by the one at Milford. Members of the public who have indicated to speak will be given 10 minutes, and I will indicate when there is 1 minute to go. Ward members, if there are any who speak, will have 10 minutes. An audio recording is being taken of this meeting, which will be published on the Borough Council's website. Members of the committee are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity, as other colleagues may enjoy in Parliament. Members may only deal with the planning application before them in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan, together with any relevant planning matters. And having said that, we now move on to the agenda proper. Do we have any apologies?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Apologies received from Councillor Nixon, who is substituted by Councillor Hobbs, and also apologies from Councillor Kenny, who hasn't appointed a substitute.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone want to report any lobbying that they may have had on any applications before us? No?
Councillor Jones has his hand up, Chairman.
Sorry.
I haven't been lobbied, but I have got an interest insofar as I'm a member of Stafford Rural Parish Council, and I do represent a ward adjacent to the application site as far as Mappin is concerned.
Would you like to reply on that?
Just to clarify, Councillor Jones, your membership as such wouldn't be a problem. Would you clarify, you come to the meeting with an open mind to listen to the debate and you haven't predetermined the matter, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
So just to clarify that, thank you. So yes, Councillor Jones has helpfully pointed out membership of the parish council, etc. But yes, he sits as any other member of this committee to listen to the debates in full and the arguments put forward before he makes his decision.
Thank you. Any others to declare?
Just any other interests? It was lobbying and interests.
No. Okay. So we begin then with application number 21/35159, outline former Leaford or Method Power Station, Method or Leaford Road, Method or Leaford Stone, Staffordshire. And I'll leave this to the officer who's going to present on this one.
Thank you, Chairman. This is an outline application for the redevelopment of the former Method Power Station site, a site of just over 47 hectares, located within the North Staffordshire Greenbelt. The proposal is for up to 96,932 square metres of employment floor space, and all matters except for access to the site are reserved for subsequent approval. You'll see from the report in the agenda that outline planning permission has been in existence for a similar development from 2007 up to 2022. However, no further reserved matters applications can be submitted pursuant to the existing outline permission at the time, as the time for doing so has now expired. However, there are two reserved matters applications currently under consideration with the council, which can still relate to that earlier outline permission. And those two applications together cover 46.3 hectares. To date, the roundabout on the A34, the improved road from the A34 and the roundabout on Method Road have been constructed, as you saw this morning, together with one unit, which is unit 3, occupied by Arcflex. Because this is an outline application, detailed plans have not been submitted. This would follow at the reserved matters stage if approved. However, a series of parameter plans and illustrative plans have been submitted in support of the application. These are described in more detail in paragraphs 1.15 to 1.18, which is on page 7 of your agenda. And I did refer to several of those plans when we were out on site this morning. The report you'll see that the report contains sections on heritage assets, where you'll note that the site is adjacent to the Trent and Mersey Canal conservation area, as we saw, and the Grade 2 listed turnover bridge to the east of the site, and it also abuts the Mefford conservation area to the southwest. Then the sections on landscape, layout, design and appearance, amenity, access, parking and highway safety, flooding and drainage, ecology, arboriculture and landscaping, and then special area conservation and other matters. However, the most important issue for consideration in the determination of this application is Greenbelt. As the site is within the North Staffordshire Greenbelt and outside of any defined settlement boundary, it is subject to a stricter degree of control in order to ensure that any development preserves the openness and permanence of the area. Therefore, although the site is specifically allocated in Policy E5, the plan for Stafford Borough, which is major developed sites in the Greenbelt, and that is previously developed sites within the Greenbelt where limited infilling or the partial or complete redevelopment will be supported for employment purposes consistent with Spatial Principle 7, which would not have a greater impact on the openness of the Greenbelt. The decision-making process for Greenbelt development is in three stages, and that's described in paragraph 2.14 of the report. The section on Greenbelt then explains the considerations, and at paragraph 2.24 sets out why the proposal constitutes inappropriate development in the Greenbelt. There is a presumption against inappropriate development in the Greenbelt, and in accordance with national guidance, the development should not be permitted unless there are very special circumstances which outweigh the presumption against it. That is covered in the planning balance and conclusion, which is on page 25 of the report. In this case, it is concluded that the very special circumstances associated with the development are very substantial, and substantial weight can be attached to them in the planning balance. As such, the identified harm is considered to be outweighed, and there are very special circumstances which justify the development. It is therefore recommended that, subject to no intervention by the Secretary of State and the completion of a planning obligation to provide a travel plan monitoring fee, outline planning permission be granted for this proposal, subject to the conditions listed in the agenda. So I'll go through the images now. So you can see, I think you can see the red edge site boundary on the screen. Again on the aerial, and you can see there are dark areas at the bottom left of the site and also surround, which the dark areas are basically the wooded areas that you can see, whereas more of the northern part of the site is open. When we walked up the site this morning, we walked from the access road, which abuts the southern edge, up to about halfway. We also looked from the canal bridge, which is on the right hand side of the bottom right of that site, and then after that we drove round to the northern entrance, which is the top left hand corner of the red edge. Got 12 photographs. I won't go through them in too much detail because you've seen most of this morning. So that's the access road which we drove up from the new roundabout. The Image 2 is a view across the Method Road roundabout to the southeast part of the application site. Now, we didn't specifically look at that part of the site because that is now proposed not to be developed. It was originally, there was originally going to be some buildings on that part of the site, but that's not now the case. This is looking along the access road towards the ArcFlex unit. And you can see the wooded area to the left of the access road. And image 4 is where the existing access road finishes. So those are the gates we walked through and the track we walked along up towards the pylons. Image 5 simply looks southward down the access road. That's the ArcFlex unit. This is a view that you didn't see this morning because this is taken from the towpath on the right hand side of the canal. So when we stood on the bridge and looked down the canal, you could see the towpath going along. In effect, that was taken from walking along there and looking towards the Unit 3, the ArcFlex building. This is going back a bit to the south. The lock, which is just to the south of where we look, so the bridge over the canal is behind the tree you can see in the distance there that we looked across from. Again, this is taken close to the last photograph. It's just to the southeast of the site. The grassed area in the left hand side of the photograph is the area so that's not now to be developed, but is part of the site. This is a view along Method Road looking south. We drove along here in both directions and you can see the extensive wooded area to the left of the photograph. There's reference to an emergency access on the western boundary of the site. This photograph is in the vicinity of that. And then this is the bowling club, the bowling green that you saw when we went up to the northern entrance of the site. And that is the northern entrance and it looked pretty much like that this morning. Moving on, the illustrative master plan is the large plan that I had with me this morning that we looked at various different locations on the site. This plan is simply the site boundary of the application, and then the blue edge is other land under the applicant's control. That is a parameter plan showing proposed land uses and where they are. So the blue is the employment uses on the site. Plan 4 is a plan that we did look at. This is the one that shows a parameter plan of maximum building heights. So those were respectively the dark blue at the top was 18.5 metres. The slightly lighter blue in the middle of the site was 18 metres. The lighter blue at the bottom of the site was 16 metres. And the very pale colour to the immediate north of the ArcFlex unit was up to 13 metres in height. Those are proposed maximum building heights. And then finally, this is an illustrative landscape master plan that we didn't look at in any detail this morning. As I say, Chairman, the application is recommended for approval. Though, as I said, if you are resolved to approve it, it would need to be referred to the Secretary of State before a decision can be issued. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Who would like to kick us off with this one?
Do you have the support of...
Oh, sorry. Yes. Who am I calling?
So, Mr. Bonner.
Mr. Bonner. Sorry about that. Mr. Bonner. Okay, Mr. Bonner. Ten minutes. Let us know when you're ready. And when we get to 9 minutes, we'll let you know.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is James Bonner and I'm Associate Director at Stantec. We are the planning agents acting on behalf of the applicant, St. Robin. We welcome the recommendation in the officer's report to approve this application on this allocated brownfield site, which will effectively replace the current planning permission with a new outline application that is suited to the current market. St. Modwen are committed to delivering jobs on the site as soon as possible, and amendments are currently being made to the separate reserved matters application that Mr. Holmes referred to, which will facilitate early delivery of the first phase. I'd like to highlight a number of important points. Firstly, positive engagement. We've worked positively and constructively with the local community, including several meetings on site with the Method Road Residents Association and the local ward member. We've listened to the community and amended our application to resolve concerns. For instance, removing development on the southern part of the site and reducing heights of the development significantly. Following these changes, the Residents Association provided no objection. This positive engagement has also been ongoing with your officers and other stakeholders. The following amendments, we have no objections from key consultees, including the Highway Authority and National Highways, the Environment Agency, Natural England, Historic England, the Lead Local Flood Authority, your biodiversity officer, your design officer, your conservation officer, your environmental health officer, and your tree officer. It involves the reuse of previously developed land. Given its former use as a power station, the site is large and comprises previously developed land. Both the council's local plan and national policy see the reuse of brownfield land as a priority. Delivery of plan-led growth. The site is allocated in the adopted local plan for employment development. The council's 2022 annual monitoring report identifies an average annual employment land delivery of 6.75 hectares. This is below the local plan target of 8 hectares per year. Over the last 3 years, this has been as low as 2.5, 4.7 and 5.1 years. Method is identified for 32.5 hectares of employment land, which is a significant proportion of the remaining employment land supply, and it will help to maintain this target over the coming years ahead of the adoption of your new local plan. Next, there's substantial economic benefits. The proposal is projected to deliver almost £95 million gross value added over the construction period, including 224 direct construction jobs. Approximately 1,070 to 2,700 full-time equivalent direct jobs will be on the site once fully operational, alongside £32 to £163 million in direct GVA per annum. Finally, approximately £2.1 to £2.5 million per year in business rates will be generated. Sustainable design and placemaking. Beyond these economic benefits, social and environmental matters have been considered from day one. This is a significant opportunity to transform this derelict land into a well-designed employment site with placemaking and sustainability at its heart. This has been driven by St. Modwen's aspirational park code alongside carbon reduction measures. The proposals are supported by significant landscaping, including on-plot planting, street trees, structural landscaping around the periphery of the site, and the identification of a 10-metre buffer with the canal, which will be significantly strengthened with new trees and understory planting. This will provide greater screening during months of the year when most trees are not in leaf. We have listened to the concerns with the approach to design of the existing ArcFlex unit and its associated landscaping. The approach to new planting and the elevational treatment of the new units will be a step change from what has been built and will ensure that the new units are recessive and varied and more closely aligned with the tones of the existing woodland setting. This has been agreed with your design and conservation officers. Significant work has gone into agreeing the biodiversity mitigation strategy, including agreeing a district level licence to provide new habitats for great crested newts, and additionally a 10% biodiversity net gain can be achieved across the site. The site is ready to go. There's been significant investment from the County Council through the delivery of the roundabout. St Modwen are strongly committed to employment development method. Surges in market demand for units have introduced a strategic opportunity for the delivery of the business park. We are proactively reacting to this demand and are working confidentially with a number of key local occupier requirements. We currently have 3 proposals out to major local occupiers in the region, and early delivery of the scheme will help support this business expansion. Finally, St Modwen are a core employment partner with the new Stoke and Staffordshire Institute of Technology, supporting them on the design and delivery of their construction and built environment curriculum. The timing of the first phase of Method is an excellent opportunity for these students based in Stafford. So in conclusion, the planning application is a culmination of a significant amount of time from your officers, statutory consultees and the St Modwen team, resulting in an exciting opportunity for the site and the local area. We respectfully request members follow the recommendation put forward by your officers and approve the application. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you very much indeed. Well within time. Well done.
How long was that?
I have no idea, but it wasn't here. 10 minutes. Thank you.
About 6.
Right, thank you. Councillor Crabb-James.
Well, first of all, I thank you very much for a very excellent report and involved in the local community. I think that was very, very prominent thing you brought forward there. We all, those of us who've been around a long while, remember the old power station there and the loss of jobs, and the staff on the Stone Borough over the past 20 years have lost tremendous amount of jobs. So it's a great opportunity for us to change that situation. Two things I want to bring up is the cladding of the buildings. I think, yes, that does need to be changed so it blends in with the trees and everything. The proposal will bring us in extra revenue for the rates, which is badly needed in this borough. So I'm all for supporting this application.
Thank you. Councillor Gareth Jones.
I think this is a point at which we have an opportunity of looking at the proposal in the round rather than specific aspects associated with it. And as far as the internal proposals are concerned, I think it's difficult to escape the conclusion that on balance there is a very strong case to support this application and to move it on. I think the area which I'm concerned about, and I take the point about Method residents, and Method residents have been very active in their concerns. They've raised them with St Modwen and have got satisfaction. But the other aspect of it is the Method Road around the site. And as ward councillor for Barlaston, I have concerns about that, and I don't know exactly how those concerns can be assuaged, because, as you say, it is an important development, but Method Road is a major problem in terms of traffic. It runs parallel with the A34. But it is, as we saw this morning, a narrow, twisted road. And at some point in time, it comes to a crossroads where it's possible to turn right to pick up the A51, to turn left to pick up the A34, to go straight ahead to pick up, to drive into Stoke-on-Trent. I think that there are major issues with Method Road as far as traffic is concerned, and there is continuing dialogue with the Chief Constable and also with the county councillor for the area. And I am concerned about the comment on the bottom of paragraph 12, the bullet points, and the figures there are slightly different to those which the supporter set out, but not hugely so. But we're talking about a site to which, over the passage of time, 2,963 direct operational employees, it might be more, will be driving down Mefford Road. And I think the impact of that will not particularly affect Mefford, it won't particularly affect Stone, because people will find their way to the A34, but it will affect Barlaston. And I think my concern is that I think we have an opportunity here to manage and engineer access to the site, both in terms of employees and also deliveries, etc., so that that is kept away from Barlaston. I think that there is... Barlaston is not mentioned in this report, and I understand why it isn't mentioned, because it is to do with the method, but it is, Barlaston is affected, and there isn't any reference in here as to how it is going to be affected. And I think we should think about what that effect is, and to mitigate, certainly against the worst effects of that. You saw today that it is a narrow, twisting road. It goes into a residential area pretty soon after, at the end of the Mefford site. And I think that we somehow need to put a condition in that some traffic engineering is undertaken, whatever traffic engineering means, but what I mean is that there is some control over the volume of traffic that will eventually go down Mefford Road, not this year, not next year, but if this is approved in outline form, then it sends a green light for that to be planned. And I don't think it should be planned willy-nilly. I think there should be some careful thought about the impact on Mefford Road and how that could be managed. I think also, as far as the canal is concerned, I was pleased to see that the buffers around the canal were maintained and enhanced. But we are in a situation, as far as the residential property in Mefford Road are in fact below the level of the canal, so that if there are problems with the canal, there would be flooding into those properties, and that is not mentioned in this report. Now, it's difficult to envisage at this stage whether there would be any impact as far as the canal is concerned. It seems to me to be fairly distant, but with the amount of activity that is planned for this site, then I think that we do need to make a contingency. Now, I note what it says in here, Chairman, about highways and their response to this, but that's a fairly typical highways response, if I would say so. And I think that we do need to be more wary about the impact of this, and to ask that in approving it. And I'm not against approving it. I'm talking about approving it with conditions that protect the people of Barlaston to a greater extent. I think that I'm concerned at the volume of traffic. I know the volume of traffic will peak at certain times of the day, and it won't be right through the day, but it could be heavy. It is already a very busy road, which is why there's dialogue with the county councillor and with the police. And I think if you go into this site from the east of the Potteries, through places like Rough Close and Mere, you inevitably be joining Method Road and coming through Barlaston. You won't, probably people will not naturally go down to the A34 and turn left there and go round the new roundabout. So I hope you will share with me my real concerns about this, how exactly we can go about making improvements as far as conditions are concerned. But I think that there should be much more consideration of that in practice over the next few months than is evident and is going to happen as far as this report is concerned. And as I say, the background to this is not one that says that this application should be refused. On balance, I accept the arguments. I think it is a valuable site, and it can play an important part in regeneration in terms of jobs in the local area. But there are downsides, and I'm wondering whether we're doing enough to mitigate against those downsides. And I would like to have a response as to what exactly we're going to do in relation to the concerns that I'm expressing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm aware that I've got two to go, but would you like to come back on any highways issues?
Yeah. As I mentioned before, there's been outline permission for development of a similar. Similar scale of development on the site since 2007. You'll see from the Highway Authority response, the second paragraph of their response, which is on page 27, they say to the north of the roundabout, Method Road is subject to 50 mile an hour speed limit, to the south subject to 40. There is a 7.5 ton vehicle weight limit except for access on Method Road immediately north of the existing north site access. So what that does in any event now is to prevent HGVs or similar large vehicles using Method Road other than for access. I understand what Councillor Jones is saying, and undoubtedly there will be more traffic along Method Road, but it's likely to be of cars or vans. Clearly the new access or improved access has been created already from the A34. And that's where highways envisage most of the traffic will come from, and particularly the larger vehicles. I don't see how we could put a condition on that restricts traffic going along Method Road. You can't restrict the volume of the traffic through a planning condition, because you don't know where the traffic's going to or from.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Spencer.
Thank you. I have a couple of concerns, mostly related to ecology and biodiversity of the project. Firstly to section 10.2, where I feel that maybe we should put a condition in related to this. It doesn't appear in the conditions that are already listed. That the horticultural specialist has recommended regarding sort of works outside of the bird nesting season and the landscaping maintained being planted over a 5-year period, which of course would account for any losses due to weather conditions and just natural failures of habitat. So I personally like to see that this is a condition. Secondly, I then draw attention to the Stafford Wildlife Trust. Comments on page 26, which states that it could be considered as a site of county importance with regards to wildlife, and that the provision of tree planting isn't necessarily going to help the habitat because of the species called the grizzled skip, which actually needs open areas. So my concern is the lower two units on the site, the southern area opposite Arcflex, are going to be sited on an area of open land, which is likely to be a major habitat for this species. So I'd like to see that maybe, I think, could the plans be amended to maybe remove these units because of the scale of the development? Will those small units at the bottom end make a huge difference to the development? I agree with Councillor Jones that yes, you know, this sort of development does need to take place, but I think we need to put some further conditions in regards to the habitat loss, because I dispute the 10% net gain, having visited the site and all the habitats that are there currently, but they cannot, I can't see how they can have a net 10% gain on the floor space of the hard standing and the buildings that are there currently. So, yeah, I'd propose a condition with regards to the horticultural specialist and also potential reduction in the density of the development in the southern part of the site to account for this, what would appear to be county importance habitat.
Thank you. Councillor Marnie Phillips.
I would echo what my fellow councillor has just said. I'd also like to just have a closer look at the area that we're talking about opposite Artflex. I think, is it... Is it image 6, which would have been from the canal, I think? If we could just have a quick look at that.
I think we've got the raised plateau area, so you're talking
image
about.
5 would be
to the right of that
house. Yeah, so it's to the right of image 5. Now on image 6, which is taken from the canal, you can see the roof of the Artflex. Obviously, we're talking about a considerable height difference of ground level between the plot of land on the right-hand side and the current building. That at 18 metres is going to, I believe you said 18 metres, forgive me if I'm wrong, 16.
16, yeah.
Is going to absolutely tower above the unit already there. I mean, just looking at it, you can see the height difference from the plot of land in comparison to that unit next to it. So I don't see how it can't be visible from the canal along that line. It just seems to me, and as well obviously looking at the fact that the actual size of those units, and not just the height, the actual floor space of those units, considerably larger than the one that's already there across the road. I just think that of the whole plan, that area is completely out of keeping and is going to it's just going to be overbearing compared to the rest of the site. The height difference, horrendous, absolutely horrendous. I'm not happy with that. I can understand the rest. I'm not happy with that at all.
Would you like to comment? No. We can't obviously change the plan that's before us in terms of deleting that particular part. We have to hear what's here now. So points are taken. Councillor Cross?
I just got one more point to make.
Go ahead.
With reference to Councillor Jones, he is correct. There will be a rat run through Barlaston and through Wedgwood from Trenton, Mere, Longton, which obviously is going to open up to employment from all of those areas, but unfortunately Barlaston, which is a small village, is going to end up by bearing the brunt of all of that. It's talking in this about the 101 bus service, which runs along the A34. Well, anybody who wants to work weekends now cannot catch the 101 bus service because it's just been cancelled on a Sunday. So whenever it was that the developers actually looked at the bus service, it certainly wasn't the recent bus service. So I think conversations certainly need to be had regarding that. Otherwise, as Councillor Jones has said, we're going to be having nearly 3,000 cars running to that site, plus lorries, with no real transport alternative. Doesn't exactly fit with our carbon neutral agenda, does it?
Thank you. Councillor Cross.
Thank you, Chairman. Going through the report, there's lots of mentions of inappropriate development. I know on page 11 to 18 refers to the MPPF, how it considers development in the Green Belt. You go on to page 12, 223, I think highlights actually what justification there is for developing this on a green field, on a green site like this. Then you go on to page 25. In our training, we've been told about planning balance. And again, this explains in the report what planning balance is and how we have to weigh up one factor about saving green and another one about development. I mean, this site is a major site in the local plan, where we have to provide, I think it was it, 5 hectares of development land each year, and at 35, 37 hectares, that's a 7-year supply that we're talking about. So if we didn't approve this, our local plan would be in deep mire. Again, on page 25, 13.3 considers that the proposal is acceptable in regards to technical consideration, refers to the local plan. The Newt officer has no comments, because again, as the public speaker highlighted, mitigation action is being taken for the Newts. Natural England have no sort of objections. Highways response we've already had, and on page 27 it says they have done a transport assessment. Most of the transport will be going on the road we're looking at there, through the centre of the site. So the actual usage on Method Road itself, apart from each end, I would suggest will be minimal in respect to this development. I look again on page 29. Again, Councillor James mentioned the colour tones of materials. I would like to see that included as a condition. Under what the design advisor has suggested, colour tones for materials of the development should match or be slightly darker than the tonality of the landscape background, and I think that should be given some consideration and perhaps put as a condition so that they do in fact follow up on that. And as with the lighting that is mentioned, we got caught out on the Redhill development, if I recall, John, where we had a problem with the lighting because we didn't specify the type of lighting, i.e. that that comes downwards and not one that spreads out, causing a light pollution hazard. So on balance, again, page 31, the conservation officer, at the bottom few paragraphs, have given their presumption in favour. The Method Residents Association on page 33, initially objecting, they've withdrawn their objections and welcomed the positive steps that are reflected in the amended plan. And I was going to make a comment, because I can remember there was an application when it ceased to be a coal-powered station to become a gas-powered station, and the structure there was going to be, 35 metres in height? And the chimney was going to be 50 metres in height, so we're worried about heights. We should have been in that one rather than the current one. So on balance, which is what planning is, I'd like to propose we accept this application as per the officer's recommendation, with any conditions that might be suggested.
Can I just hold that and just allow Councillor Peter Jones, who wants to speak?
Thank you, Chairman. Just a few observations. I'm always a bit nervous, and I have been for the 9 years I've been on planning, when we mentioned that the Highways Department will be doing something useful. And of course, invariably they don't. So Councillor Jones's point about Barlaston, I think Barlaston's on their own when it comes to the Highways Department. Anyway, that's my point. Can I ask you a question then? Is this how we normally lose green belt land? By balancing that awkward balance between employment and income? Where, you know, we've got to look after employment, as Sir Frank will pull forward, and raising money for business or whatever. But it seems that we've got an small number anyway, of green belt land. And lots of places to build factories and things like that. Is this how we normally lose our greenbelt land? We balance it and say, even though it's inappropriate, as long as we're getting jobs, and that's fine if that's what we do, but it just seems unfortunate. That's all I'm saying.
No. Most greenbelt land is open fields or wooded areas, etc. This is why I specifically mentioned policy E5, the local plan, which is major developed sites in the green belt. It refers specifically to three sites, which is Hadley Park, Blythe Bridge, the old Creeder site, Moorfields near Swinnerton, and former Method Power Station site. These are previously developed sites within the green belt. If this would not have been previously developed,
no chance.
There would be no chance of this at all.
Thank you. Spencer first.
I'm going to revisit the point I made previously. I've seen another section relating to it, which is on page 30, where the tree officer says he has no objections as long as conditions are put in place that were tree protection plans, horticultural method statements, and what was mentioned in the horticulturist sort of discussions. Again, as I discussed earlier with the 5-year period, so if this is approved to go ahead, I would certainly like to. I would like that condition to be.
Hold on a second then. Is this in relation to the tree officer report?
Correct, and also the horticulturist, yes. He stated that he would like. He has no objection as long as a condition is put in place. Relating to bird nesting season and the 5-year period of sort of replanting and maintenance. So that's the only reason he has no objection. So I believe, therefore, we need to put a condition in to account for that.
Well, things like bird nesting seasons covered by other legislation anyway, which is Environmental Countryside Act. So we wouldn't, you don't normally put on conditions that are covered by other legislation.
Okay.
I take your point in terms of
the landscaping.
No objection, subject to wisdom.
Could the word clarify? Not really allowed to clarify unless it's through the chair.
Part of the issue we've got here is that this is an outline application. So this would have to be followed up by reserve matters applications for different parts of the site. So, for example, somebody mentioned colour of the cladding and things like that.
Mm.
We don't have a building design to look at here, so we wouldn't. So the appropriate time to put conditions in terms of colouring, cladding, etc. is at that point. Also, because it's an outline and the plans that you saw are indicative or parameter plans, then there's no, at this point in time, there's no proposal to take out particular trees. I don't disagree with what the tree officer is saying, but I don't think this is the appropriate application to put those conditions on. I think it's reserve matters applications that would follow where that would be the case.
Okay.
Through you, Chairman, would the reserve matters come back to this committee?
Not necessarily.
Or could they be advised of it?
Well, the
a reserve matters application doesn't by rights have to come back to this committee, but obviously it could be called in by the ward councillor or three members of the committee.
Sorry, Harris, modern technology. I think I've got you next, actually, Frank.
That's £10 to the mayor's fund.
I just see that in the, obviously in the different conditions around here, we have, you know, relation to newts, we have relation to a lot of environmental matters in there on this outlying condition. I don't quite understand how this element, which is an environmental factor, isn't included in the conditions.
Okay. Yeah, John, do you want to respond at all?
Let me just have a look through the conditions while you...
Yeah. Okay. Frank, you're on next, I believe.
Yeah. I think we can all emphasise on the green, but we just walked on that site, and any of us remember that site. It was a massive power station. It was covered in brick. But yes, it's gone wild now. It's wild. It is still a site where employment was used. Employment. We've got to remember that. I can't think it's a garden lawn anymore. It's an employment site.
Thank you. Then I've got Councillor Phillips.
Thank you, Chairman. It was a very long time ago, with all due respect, when it was a power station. And we're talking about a lot more employees on this site and a lot more cars than when it was a power station. So it's not really comparable, I don't feel. Can I ask John about page 6, 1.13, where it's talking about 2 hectares of battery storage? Are we talking about that's a huge site, 2 hectares. Are we talking external batteries, internal?
The site as a whole is 47 hectares.
It's been approved, that battery storage. It's to the north of this Mefford power station.
No, that's separate to this.
Yes, I know. But that's what Councillor Phillips is referring to.
Are you within the application site you're speaking?
It says on the proposal 1.13.
It's part of this proposal, but what Councillor Jones is talking about is a different proposal. So yes, within this site, and I think I've seen something that shows battery storage as buildings up to about 7 metres in height, something along those lines. So it's generally lower than the maximum height, somewhat lower than the maximum heights that we've seen.
Through you, Chairman, do we know what kind of batteries we're talking about? Is it anything that's likely to cause potential problems?
I don't think it's that type of thing. I think it's just effectively batteries to store electricity.
Right.
So you know when you've got where there's an increased number of solar farms, wind farms, and that kind of thing, they generate the power. But unless you can, it goes into the grid. But unless you can store the power somewhere, you can't use it in the future, you can only use it at that point in time.
Okay, thank you. And can I, through you, Chairman, another question? I am still desperately concerned about the build-up of it, this one on image 5. I think it's going to be an abomination. I think we're going to in time end up by likening it to the abomination that was built in stone. It's going to be completely overpowering this building that's here now, and a blot on the landscape. And for me, that's where I'm struggling with this. I understand that the applicant has tried to do all sorts of ecological benefits on the site and make the necessary changes, but with the concerns that my fellow councillor has about the ecology in that area and about the size of the building that's going to be built on that, I would like to have seen this plan without that size building on that piece of land, quite frankly. I think it's I think that, it's going to be too large and overmassing. So what I want to know is, if we are agreeing, are we agreeing to that building being built there, or can we at a later point ask for a reduction in size for it?
You don't you don't at this point have an application for any specific building. This is illustratively how it could be done. And what you've got in here are parameter plans that give a maximum height. Now, that doesn't mean on the plans that we saw, that you're necessarily going to get buildings of those sizes.
I'm very conscious that on previous applications regarding housing sites, we've seen these kind of pre-applications like this, and then they've come back to us and we've been told, well, you agreed that so many houses could go onto that site.
Yep.
What I'm conscious of is that I do not want that building to be built in that place, because it is going to be absolutely horrific from a viewpoint, size, massive, the whole lot. It's just wrong building, wrong place. And I just need assurances,
well,
really, that we can make sure that won't be built.
Okay. If you're looking to refuse the application, then you're going to have to demonstrate what the harm is.
Is your concern because that part of the site is elevated?
Elevated.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the
absolutely
maximum height, I'll come to you in a moment, is 16 metres on that particular
yeah
part.
Which bit?
This opposite arc flex, essentially.
Yes, 16. Yes.
So 16 plus about 4.
And if arc flex is what, about 13 metres, did we say?
13.
Arc flex was 12 metres.
12 metres. And then if you go to the picture, please, for arc flex, which is it 5 or 6? 5, image 5 on here again, please. So if that one there is 13, and there's not an awful lot of height difference between that plot of land and that building, a 16 metre building is going to be absolutely towering over what's already there. It's going to be, it's just going
to be
horrendous.
I think we've done that bit. Councillor Hobbs?
I mean, on balance, it's a good use of land that's been used before. But I'm concerned about this comment on page 26 by the Staffordshire Wildlife Trust, which says, and I wonder if it's referring to this spot here, it's not clear why so much priority habitat is to be lost when non-priority habitats on the site could be impacted in favour of retaining more high-value areas. And I just wonder why they haven't done that, why they haven't left this area, which is contentious and may have this rare species living there, when there are other areas that could have been used. It seems unfortunate, you know, when most people are in favour of developing the area, you know, it's a shame, isn't it, really? That sticks.
Any more?
Can I just come back
sure,
to
sure.
Councillor Spencer? In terms of tree protection, etc., that's picked up in condition 3, because condition 3 lists what the approved drawings and documents are. I thought we would have it somewhere, I just needed to work out where. So it's about 2/3 of the way down the list under condition 3.
I see it.
Tree protection plan and arboricultural method statement.
But okay, so were these plans available to the tree officer when he made his comments?
Yes.
Right, okay. So
yes, that document was submitted with the application.
So when he states conditions, you think he's referring to that is the condition that you were referring to?
I think so.
Okay, anyone?
I heard what John said about the 2007 application. And I accept that there is an HGV restriction as far as Leopard Road is concerned, and that is not breached particularly. It's well respected. So when I was talking about traffic, I was talking about car or light van traffic. But I fundamentally think it's a weak response, in the sense of we are having an opportunity to look at something from an to engineer something, and I don't think we're taking that opportunity. Now, I know that highways are a difficult organisation to work with, but that doesn't mean to say that we shouldn't continually try and to have some sort of try to establish some sort of dialogue. But I'm not happy in relation to my ward for there to be a huge number of additional vehicle movements daily without us trying to do something about it. And that, I'm saying I support this application because I think it will be good, but I think we do at the edges need to consider how we can modify it to the benefit of local residents, and I don't think that's unreasonable. And I would like to see a condition, and don't ask me how to phrase it, but I would like to see some sort of condition whereby we do have an active dialogue with highways about ameliorating this situation. Because if you're essentially talking about traffic going to the site from the east, it will go down Method Road, it will not go down the A34.
Thank you. Thank you. Right, we've given that a good airing. Any more comments at all?
We've got a recommendation.
I've not been seconded.
I'm just going to invite that one in a moment. Main concern, if I see correctly, is the land opposite the Arcflex, the raised area, and the height of the building, or maximum height of the building, that can be put there. Is it possible that we could reduce that height as part of it, or is that what the applicant has put in? Could we change that 16 metres to 12 or whatever number?
You would normally have to consider the application that's before you, so if you didn't want to approve it, you'd have to defer it and ask the applicant to sit there and make amendments. You couldn't really put a condition restricting.
Okay. And then the other issue is traffic highways on Method Road.
I'd like to highlight the ecological issue. I think you've been mentioned on quite numerous occasions.
Yeah. Right, so it has been proposed by Councillor Cross to approve as there. And anyone going to second that? Councillor Pratt James? So we're going to take that vote then. All those in favour of the application as presented, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You vote, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Do I need to vote at this point?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Decide whether there's a vote or not. Six in favour.
Yeah. And against?
1, 2, 3. Against. Carried.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Approved at the same time.
Yes, obviously that is outlined and it will come back to us.
So my request for condition is ignored.
The conditions are secured, as listed.
Yes, but not as proposed.
No.
Yeah, that was just purely as set out.
It was as set out, yes. I mean, it has to do applications as they come forward. Okay, next application is the site visit that we had down at Milford, which is set out on page 46. Okay, page 46, if you've got it there. Do you want to do the presentation, Jess?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The location plan shows the extent of the site outlined in red, and the application site relates to a site located on Holdingford Road, measuring 4 hectares. The application site comprises agricultural land, which is currently being utilised for low-grade haylage and straw, as the land is of very poor quality for arable farming. The following slide shows an aerial view of the site. To the south of the site lies the railway line with residential development beyond. To the east is the Shrubber Estate, and the existing vehicle access is on the eastern boundary of the site. And that to the north and west lies open agricultural land and the Staffs and Worcestershire Canal adjacent to the northern boundary of the site. This is the photo plan. Image one is looking west from the vehicular access into the site. Image two is looking west into the site where the proposed access track is proposed to be. Image three, four and five are looking south towards the railway line into the site. And image six is looking northwest towards the canal, and this is a listed aqueduct. And image seven is looking in towards the western boundaries of the application site. The proposal seeks to change the use of the application site from agricultural land to a dog walking field. There are minimal works to the application site, however, the proposal does include the addition of a 1.9 metre high boundary fence. However, this does fall under the remit of permitted development. And alongside this, two areas of hard standing for car parking provision and an access track down the northern boundary of the site. Plan one shows the first field and both areas of hard standing. And plan two shows the second field as part of the application site. Plan three shows the full extent of the application site. And plan four shows the proposed fencing and a sectional drawing of the application site.
Could you just go back to plan three again?
So yeah, of course. Since the committee paper was published, the applicant has requested that condition A, as shown on page 53 of the agenda, is amended to reflect a 6 a.m. start time during the summer months. Officers deem this to be an acceptable time given the proximity of the residential development to the south of the application site. As such, it is recommended that the condition is amended to say the site shall only be used for the approved purpose of supervised dog exercising between the hours of 0600 hours and 2000 hours during the months of March to August, and 800 hours and 1600 hours during the months of September to February. One response has been received since the committee paper was published from the County Council Flood Authority, raising no objections to the proposal. The proposal is considered to be acceptable in principle in terms of the loss of low-grade agricultural land and replacement with this of an appropriate use in a rural location that will provide facilities to the local community. The layout and design are considered to be acceptable and would not impact upon heritage assets. And it is noted that the AOMB officer and the Inland Waterway have objected to the proposed fencing, however this can be constructed under permitted development rights. The above consultees and the conservation officer raised objections in relation to the proposed hard standing. However, the recommended condition 3 on page 53 of the agenda has provided mitigation for this by requiring the materials of the hard standing to be submitted to achieve something that is acceptable in a rural location. The proposal is not considered to impact upon residential amenity. Any detrimental impacts could be mitigated through suitably worded conditions. This scheme is also acceptable with regards to flooding, drainage and ecology. With regards to highways, the proposal seeks to use the existing vehicular access off Holdingford Road with 50 on-site car parking spaces to be provided, and the highway officer raises no objection to the scheme on this basis. In conclusion, the proposed dog walking facility would form an appropriate reuse of grade 4 agricultural land within the open countryside and is supported by policy E2 of the plan for Stafford Borough. The proposed development wouldn't harm the surrounding sensitive areas such as the Cannock Chase AOMB, the Shrubborough Estate or the Staffs and Worcestershire Canal Conservation Area, subject to conditions relating to the materials of the proposed hardstanding. The proposal provides adequate parking facilities and safe means of access into the site and would not result in undue harm to the residential amenity of any neighbouring dwellings. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So just to confirm, on page 53, the operational hours have been requested between 6 a.m. and 2000 hours March to August and 8 a.m. to 1600 September to February as shown. I think we have a supporter who wants to speak in this one.
Claire Preston.
Claire Preston, yeah. Claire, you have 10 minutes.
Thank you.
We'll let you know when we get a minute to go.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for your opportunity to speak to you today. The application before you seeks consent for the change of use of land to form two dog exercise fields, including formation of hard standing for vehicle parking. The officer's report identifies all relevant material planning considerations and arrives at a recommendation for approval, which is welcomed. The applicant owns a successful local dog grooming salon and retail shop, which was established in 2006. The applicant is also an operational licensed. The application. The applicant is also an operational licensed dog handler and trainer for the Home Office with 22 years service. The applicant has built up a large customer base and is regularly approached by customers and other dog owners requiring a safe enclosed space to walk and train their dogs. Demand for this type of facility has always been high. However, demand has significantly increased since the pandemic, as due to COVID-19 restrictions, many new dog owners were not able to fully socialise their young puppies. With the help of a local landowner, the applicant has acquired approximately 4 hectares of low-grade or agricultural land, which has the potential to provide a local facility where dog owners can walk, exercise and train their dogs safely. The site benefits from an existing access point off Holderford Road, and the council's highway officer has raised no objections in terms of highway safety. The applicant would like to confirm that the scheme utilises an existing field track to reach the westernmost field without the need for a tarmac surface. The track will require a small amount of topping up with crushed stone, and the applicant has no objection to a condition relating to the materials for the proposed hard standing. The scheme includes the provision of a 1.9 metre high deer fencing to secure the perimeter of the site. A temporary movable field shelter is proposed to provide customers with a level of shelter during poor weather conditions. As summarised in the officer's report, objections relating to these elements are not relevant to this proposal as, although related to this application, both elements fall under the remit of permitted development and do not require planning permission. The applicant's agent submitted an addendum which includes an example photographs of the temporary movable field shelter. The proposal also includes the provision of dog waste disposal bins which will be emptied by the applicant on a regular basis. Customer bookings will be managed by an online booking system operated by a dedicated member of staff. Each exercise field will be available to book as a 55-minute slot with a 5 to 10 minute turnaround time. The applicant applied for operational hours during the summer months of 0600 to 2000 hours. However, condition 8 of the officer's report does restrict opening hours to 0800 to 2000 hours. Losing 2 operational hours in the morning each day will have a significant impact on the number of dog walkers using the exercise fields over the summer season. Similar facilities in the area do open at 0600, and time slots between 0600 and 0800 hours are the most popular. Similarly, the slots after 5 p.m. The applicant has many customers who work full-time hours and will benefit greatly of an earlier opening time, so they can walk their dogs before they start work at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. Therefore, the applicant would like to ask the committee that the opening hours during the summer months are amended to 0600, so customers can walk their dogs before work, making use of the cooler hours during hot days. With the rural location of the proposal, occasional barking would be typical and not intrusive, and as stated in your officer's report, given the distance of the application site to nearby dwellings, there will be no breach of council amenity guidelines or any noise implications. The development is not at risk of flooding and the council's biodiversity officer is satisfied there are no habitats of significant ecological value on site which would be impacted by the development. Even so far as commenting, dog walking facilities that may relieve pressure on more sensitive areas of the chase and special areas of conservation should be encouraged. In summary, the application is considered an acceptable form of rural diversification, which will support rural economic growth as supported by national and local planning policy. There are no outstanding material planning considerations, and as stated in the officer's report, the proposal will not result in any harm to surrounding sensitive sites such as the Cannock Chase AOMB, the Shugborough Estate, or the Staffordshire and Worcestershire Canal Conservation Area. We would therefore encourage members to approve the scheme in line with officer's recommendation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Councillor Time. Okay, Councillor Phillips, first of all.
Thank you, Chairman. I think this is a really great idea. As a dog owner myself, it's obviously, as you know, the parks and the green spaces that we have within the borough, the play areas, etc. are not made or designed to have dogs off lead, so it's always nice to have somewhere where you can take the dog and exercise it the way a dog wants to be exercised. I'd say that the only I would agree as well with the applicant as far as the time is concerned. I don't think that given the area that it's based, I don't think a 6 a.m. start would have an impact at all, but it will have a huge difference for the people who need to walk their dogs prior to going to work. So I think that absolutely we should condition make those opening changes. The only other thing that I would say is obviously the AONB is talking about some shrub planting or tree planting, and I'm not seeing that in the plans that have been proposed, so I wondered if that could be clarified, and also what the proposed shelter is supposed to be being built from.
We have some illustrations with the shelter?
Not on the presentation, but they were submitted alongside the application as part of the planning statement. The shelter would be constructed from timber, and it is proposed by the applicant that it will be moved every 28 days, which means that it falls under the remit of permitted development, so it won't be a permanent structure.
I'm happy to propose this to be approved following the change of time.
I think we have a couple of speakers who want to go first. Was it Councillor Spencer or Councillor James? I can't remember.
I haven't posted though.
Yeah, I'm made noted. Councillor Spencer then?
I agree that it will be an asset for the area, but my only concern is unfortunately back onto the sort of opening hours, and if maybe there could be a slight amendment on. There's a field west and the field east. I see that field west, there's quite a number of gardens and buildings that back onto, granted there's a railway in the way, but obviously rail traffic, especially at weekends, is reduced. And I'm just concerned that the amount of dogs on the field and field west at 6 o'clock in the morning, especially at a weekend, maybe classes potentially some noise pollution from that, and maybe just using field east for the earlier 06 to 08 opening times, maybe a proposal to put forward to sort of lessen the impact to those residential dwellings that back onto Field West.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Frank James?
Yeah, I'm all for this proposal, but I've got one or two concerns. We should seek some required assurances on the security of the place, because we just recently witnessed on Milton Common all the travellers and gypsies and the thousands of pounds it cost to clear it up, and they can move onto that site at any given time if it's just an open gated situation. I think we need some assurances there how she's got to control the security. And my other thoughts are that there's a planning permission going to come in for a building. I think we need assurances that this will return to agricultural land if this business fails. We don't want to suddenly find out we're going to have an industrial estate on it saying we just call this a brownfield site for dogs.
Do you want to come back on that one?
Yeah, obviously we'd be granting a change of use of land as per this application, and for it to revert back to agricultural land it would require another change of use. So it's not really something that we would be able to do.
Yeah.
Do you want me to deal with
yeah.
the travellers? So
yes, please.
I mean, obviously that's not really appropriate to condition something like that. It's as a private landowner, you take what security measures you want to secure your own land, and obviously if you do let trespassers onto your land, they become your problem and you have to remove them. I doubt that the owner would want the land compromised in any way by trespassers.
Thank you. Councillor Cross.
Yeah, I should imagine that the gate will be locked when the facility is not in use. So Stephen can assure us of that. I'm quite happy to second this proposal.
Councillor Spencer.
Returning to my point, can we condition potentially that only field east is used between the hours of 6 and 8 to lessen the impact on residents in the back on the field west?
I don't know whether we can condition it or whether the applicant might be prepared to agree to that.
Yes.
Just trying to. On the report, what's the maximum number of dogs on at any one time? I'm just looking for it here.
I think, Chairman, it would be up to the applicant. So if you have two dogs you want to sign together, look any fee and bring them in. But they would have exclusive use for the booking
for the whole house,
whereas
so
if you bring them in, six, you won't have six.
Okay, great, thank you. Right, so what are you?
I think perhaps something that we would suggest is instead of, obviously, I think you raised the point previously about the reduced hours on the train line at the weekends, if you wanted to put a condition on, change the condition to say that the opening hours at the weekends are 8 or 7, whatever you deem to be appropriate, but obviously the houses are around 50 metres away, so I don't think that it's going to be particularly intrusive on those properties.
I think it would be reasonable that certainly the weekend at 8 o'clock, because there's more opportunity for people, there's no requirement for people to walk their dogs earlier before work on a weekend.
Yeah.
So I think that's reasonable.
So, what if I got this right? So Monday to Friday it's 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. and
yeah.
in the winter.
Somebody's going
yeah.
to make a
proposal. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
that's not
the
proposal
yeah,
we have.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure we've got it right. And then at the weekend, it's 8 to 8 in the summer months.
Yes.
Is Councillor Phillips happy to amend her proposal accordingly?
I am happy. What about, so how do we feel about bank holidays?
I think you might be getting over detailed on
yeah.
the
I think so.
Yes.
I think so too.
So weekends.
Yeah, I'm.
As the original report, weekdays.
To do that.
Earlier.
Yes.
And seconded by Councillor Cross.
Compromise.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So it's been proposed and seconded to approve, subject to those hours. If I've got it right. So all those in favour, please show.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That is approved. Thank you. And now that meeting is closed. Do you want a comfort break?
Yeah.
Okay.